This is Audible.
Three Simple Rules, The Blindfold Club, Book 1, written by Nikki Sloan, narrated by Muffy Newtown at Brickshop Audio, Inc. Chapter 1. My best friend Peyton and I were celebrating her best month yet at her job, where she'd pulled in $40,000, more than I'd make all year after taxes. Actually, she'd made it in a handful of nights, and she'd made it selling her body to men. Peyton was a bona fide high-class whore. "I'm providing a service," she joked. "The ugly and fat guys can fuck a girl who looks like me." She was a hooker with a heart of gold, as in gold digger, and had chosen this career even though she held a degree in communications from Northwestern. She'd chosen it. There was no need or goal that had forced her into the position, although I often wondered if there was an emotional one she was desperate to satisfy. We'd been randomly assigned roommates for the semester of college we studied abroad in Amsterdam. I'd selected it because attending school abroad looked great on a resume, and she'd gone because I suspect she was bored. It was in the red light district that spring when she discovered her exhibitionist streak. The entire dorm floor of Americans decided to go together to a sex show, mostly as a joke, and the host running the show had gawked at my gorgeous roommate. My mouth fell open when the performers invited Peyton to join them, and I'd watched in fascinated horror as she made her way triumphant to the stage. She hadn't participated in the actual sex that night, but had no problem showing off the creamy skin of her breasts or touching both of the performers anywhere and everywhere. It made me uncomfortable, but if I'm being honest, also envious. Not so much of the performance, but her total lack of inhibitions during and absence of shame afterward. Confidence oozed out of every cell of her. She was attractive, but her unapologetic personality made her insanely hot. Even though I'm straight, I had a girl crush on her. We stood now in one of the quieter corners of her favorite spot, a trendy bar where no drink was less than $12, and which was also overrun with assholes looking to get laid. "These are from the gentleman over there," the thin-as-a-soda-straw waitress said, passing us drinks and gesturing to the other end of the bar. Usually the assholes traveled in pairs, and the less attractive of the two would try to make conversation with me, while the other did his best to land Peyton. She was tall and slender, with vibrant blue eyes, and I was the poor man's version. I had mousy brown hair to her glossy black cherry locks. My curves were my thighs, whereas hers were located up top for maximum appeal. My face was plain and unremarkable, and hers was exotic. "I think you should do it," Peyton said. "Do what?" I asked. The pair of suits had noticed we'd accepted their drinks and now were making their approach. "Come with me next time. Give it a try." This was at least the third time she'd suggested it. "No way. Have you not met me?" She gave me a knowing smile.
"I'm Todd,"
the guy said before he'd even reached us. He couldn't have looked more cliché douche if he'd tried.
"This is my friend John."
How fitting. The quiet one locked eyes with me for a moment, and then seemed to struggle with the urge to look around for better options. "Thanks for these," Peyton said. "We were thirsty. I'm Peyton, and this is Evie, and I was just telling her to consider joining me next time I'm seeing clients."
"You two work together?"
Todd asked. He smelled like he'd been standing too close to a cologne factory when it had exploded. "No," she continued, "but I think she'd like it."
"What do you do?"
"I'm an escort." Todd blinked, stunned. Then a smile widened on his face and gave us a look at his two white teeth.
"Oh yeah? Me too. What kind of benefits do you get? Dental? Vision?"
"No need for the vision I wear a blindfold during. Both my clients and I like our anonymity."
"Of course,"
he said, seeming to want to play along.
"So, Evie, are you—"
"That's my bad," Peyton interrupted. You don't actually get to call her that. Only friends and family do. Her name is Evelyn. Her sweet, oddly possessive streak over my nickname had developed after we'd graduated, and my first great love had dumped me. His loser friends knew me by the nickname, and after a disastrous run-in with them post-breakup at the Taste of Chicago, she decreed the name from now on had to be earned.
Evelyn, got it,
Todd said, pushing the cocktail straw to the side so he could take a sip of his drink.
Are you going to become an escort like your friend and I here?
My face flooded with heat at the thought of it. No, I couldn't.
Would you pay money to sleep with her?
Peyton asked. Todd gave me an evaluating look that made me feel more like a piece of meat than I ever had at this bar.
I don't know. Maybe.
He said, indifferent.
I don't usually pay for sex.
Usually, my brain noted, which implied he had.
It's not just sex.
Peyton set a hand on Todd's arm and drew him closer to her.
It's an experience. You're buying the opportunity to be in complete control, to do whatever, even the dark, twisted fantasy you've been secretly wanting to try.
Yeah?
He tried miserably not to look too excited, but the thought of doing whatever sick idea he had to Peyton was too much.
You're into the hardcore stuff?
Absolutely. But Evie's not a freak like me.
Her blue eyes went to the other guy, who was focused on me.
What about you? Would you pay to do whatever you wanted to her?
Don't use me in your recruiting material, I said. I'm not sure why I cared, but a small part of me waited to hear the answer on whether or not this random stranger would pay for the privilege to have total command over my body.
Well, she's hot and all, but I'm not into the weird stuff,
he answered. My heart beat just a little faster with his flattery.
He's vanilla. Plus, he's broke,
Todd added.
Wow, Peyton said. Sounds like our friends have a lot in common.
I was broke, thanks to huge student loans, which, coupled with rent in downtown Chicago and utilities, left me with virtually nothing. I don't know if I'd say I was strictly into vanilla sex, though. I was by no means a prude, but by comparison to Peyton, I was a nun.
Wait, how does it work?
Todd asked.
If you're blindfolded, how do you make arrangements?
The club handles that.
The smile faded from Todd's face a little, like he was worried she was actually serious.
What club?
The private club I work for.
She finished her drink and pulled a business card and pen from her purse and then handed her bag to me.
Turn around.
I did so and finished my drink, knowing we were about to make our exit. She set the business card on my shoulder and scribbled a word on it.
If you're interested in learning more,
Peyton said and handed the card to Todd, go to this website. The password on the back is good until Sunday at midnight.
What?
Thanks for the drinks,
she replied, taking back her purse and dragging me away. Leaving them wanting more was her specialty, but the two men standing there looked more confused and disappointed than anything else. The rest of the team waited for our boss to arrive and begin the Monday meeting, idle chit-chat about the fading summer weather filling the silence. Logan Stone was now 11 minutes late to the meeting he had called.
Should we give him 5 more minutes?
Kathleen, one of the senior designers, asked.
I would have preferred to leave now. The order for my first major account had come back from the printers, and the finished sample was waiting for me in a FedEx box on my desk. Seeing your design work in a finished piece was deeply satisfying, and I had a bit of Christmas morning anticipation about it.
He came in with no excuse or apology and gave us barely a greeting. It made me wonder if this was a deliberate tactic to let us all know how little he thought of our time, or to make sure we knew where we stood. Logan had been a senior designer when I started, and last year he beat out 2 other senior designers to take over as department manager. The power had gone straight to his head. He'd had difficulty accepting client feedback before the promotion, and now it was a nightmare. Negative feedback was met with what I like to call education lectures, where he'd spew all the design reasons for the decisions he'd made in the artwork,
It was impossible to argue with him. He always got his way, and the worst part was, he was usually right. Logan's tie was askew, like it had been thrown on in a hurry. Maybe his lunchtime quickie had run over. He was attractive, with short, perfectly styled brown hair and a trim, lean frame, so it stood to reason he had a girlfriend. Or maybe a fuck buddy, since his strict personality would make him difficult to date. He plugged in his laptop and navigated to the critique folder where the entire department dumped their work-in-progress proofs. It was anonymous to everyone but him and the artist who'd built it, and occasionally it could be brutal. But today he seemed to be in a decent mood, elevating his start-over critiques to needs work. If he was going to be like this from now on, I had no problem with Logan being late to every meeting. After we concluded, I packed up my things and overheard his discussion with another coworker about his weekend. He'd run a half marathon on Saturday and finished at the top of the 30 to 34-year-old division, but it had come at a price. He'd been late to the meeting because his muscles were tight and sore, and he'd gone to get a massage. Today, in the middle of the workday. If I was Peyton, I would have told him how ridiculous that sounded, but because I was me and because he couldn't see, I rolled my eyes and hurried to my desk. I tore the box open and pulled the case card out, admiring the glossy sheen finish the new clients had splurged on. It seemed silly to be proud of a printed piece of cardboard that advertised a bottle of vodka, but I had worked so hard to marry together the concepts the client wanted. It was eye-catching and stunning. Even Logan had said so in critique, his gaze falling to mine that day in the conference room. I had decided I disliked him a little less then, until he laid into another designer's piece and had sent her home in tears. A sensation of alarm trickled through me. Something was wrong. The printer had gotten the colors just right, perfect for the branding I was going for. Was the shadow off? A typo in the tagline? I had proofed it endlessly. Surely that wasn't it. What was it that made my mouth go dry? My gaze continued downward through the advertisement, down to the bottom, searching. That was where I found it. The horrible mistake that would put me out of a job. How the hell had this happened? In a panic, I flew to my keyboard and searched through emails, terrified to confirm what I already knew was true. I stared at the screen for an unknown amount of time in disbelief that I had been so stupid. And then an even longer time trying to figure out what the hell I was going to do. Not only did I need this job, but I loved it. I'd do anything to keep it. Shaky legs carried me to the doorway of Logan's office. "Do you have a second?" My nervous voice drew his eyes up, and he nodded. I held the case card sample in one hand and used the other to shut his door, indicating how serious our conversation was about to be. "I made a mistake," I breathed out, clutching the cardboard so hard it started to bend under my grip.
"What did you do?"
It wasn't accusatory, more concerned. "This is the sample for players." I set the board in front of him and sank down into the chair opposite his desk. Long fingers picked it up, and his chocolate-colored eyes scrutinized every inch of it. Like me, he couldn't spot it right away. He searched for a typo in the tag, and when he came up empty, he dropped down to the legal disclaimer at the bottom. The cardboard dropped silently to the desktop, and his face filled with anger.
"How the hell did that happen?"
"Players is a new client, so I didn't have their brand guidelines when I started building. I grabbed a legal off someone else's artwork to use as a placeholder until I had it. I thought I had updated it, but I didn't."
"Of course you grabbed their competitor's legal line."
It wasn't possible for him to be any angrier with me than I was with myself. It didn't matter that the customer had signed off on the proof I'd sent them. The customer was always right, and there was no way they were going to pay for 20,000 pieces of advertisement they couldn't use.
"Call the printer and get estimates on stickers to cover that,"
he barked and ran a hand through his hair. "I already thought of that, but we can't. He looked closer at the sample.
Shit.
The legal was positioned just so on the background that the stickers would have to be perfectly placed by hand to hide it. That kind of labor would be too expensive. It'd be cheaper to just print 20,000 new ones. And using the sticker would alert everyone to what a dumbass I'd been, including the brand new client who'd probably bolt. I need to ask, I said, a tremble in my voice, for a really big favor. It was like I just told him I loved the font Comic Sans.
What do you need?
What I needed was to fix this mistake and keep my job. Agency jobs were hard to come by, and freelancers were making the design industry more competitive every year. I'd made tough choices before, and I could do it again. No one knows about this. I need you to have the printer destroy these before they go out tomorrow.
That's a given, not a favor.
I need you to place a rush order for 20,000 more with the correct legal.
I think the customer's going to notice an extra 10 grand on their bill.
His long, elegant face twisted with sarcasm. No, I said, my voice fading into almost nothing. They won't, because I'm going to pay for it.
What? You're not going to do that?
Confusion made his eyes a shade darker. You and I are the only ones who'll know. I hated that he'd be able to hold it over me, but right now I had to focus. I needed his help. If Players finds out, they'll walk and my head will roll.
Maybe that's what should happen.
I'd like to point out that you signed off on the proof, too. I hadn't wanted to bring it up, but he'd left me no choice.
I sign off on dozens of rounds of artwork a day. I don't proof legals because I expect my people to be able to execute simple things like this.
I tried not to let it sting, but his truth cut into me. Your boss might see it otherwise. As my manager, his job could be in jeopardy for my mistake. His eyes went narrow.
You've got that kind of money?
No, I said, but I think I can get it.
That sounds ominous. How?
Don't worry about it. Because Lord knows, I was plenty worried about it enough for both of us. Please, Logan, I made a stupid mistake that I'm going to beat myself up over about for the next 10 years. I love this job. I need this job. Please. He leaned back in his chair, his gaze drifting away from mine and falling down onto the case card.
If I do this, you better not breathe a word of it to anyone else.
I wasn't sure if it was relief or trepidation that filled my body. Of course.
Go back to your desk and get me the corrected file. Hurry before I change my mind.
He passed the case card back to me with a pointed look. I scrambled for the door, but froze. I'll have to know, I said, how much I need to come up with. His face was unreadable.
I'll let you know.
I couldn't look at the FedEx box when I returned to my desk. I jammed the sample in the garbage and updated the artwork, then emailed the file name and location to Logan. My phone rang a few minutes later with his extension flashing on screen.
9600.
That was all he said before hanging up. And even with that few words, I could hear the anger in his voice. Anger that I'd drawn him into this terrible situation. Yeah, well, the joke's on you. I'd put myself in a much worse situation. I was about to become a whore. Chapter 2. I followed Peyton into the upscale salon, and I was sure I was going to throw up on the marble tile floor inside. We were meeting her manager, Joseph, her pimp, who, assuming everything went okay with our meeting, would become my pimp. Just breathe, Peyton said. She was beyond thrilled when I'd confessed what I needed. She felt bad how I'd come to the decision, but she had absolute certainty that this was the first step on my road to sexual awakening. It wasn't a step. This was like being strapped to a rocket. It seemed odd to meet here, but if Joseph agreed to let me see clients, he would have a say about the way I looked, specifically the downstairs area. Peyton had filled me in on what to expect, but Joseph wasn't what I had expected. He was a 30-something elegant man with coat hanger shoulders and a devilish smile.
Nice to meet you, Evelyn. I've heard many good things.
He shook my hand and then gestured for us to follow him past the wash sinks and into the back. He led us into a room I guessed was used for the waxing, and he sat on the table, assessing me with his gaze.
I'm sure Peyton has told you how this works, but things would be different with you. Your friend is a rare woman, which you probably already know.
Yes, I said, the nerves making it difficult to speak.
I understand you're looking for a one-night-only sort of thing.
Right. Peyton had a contract, not a legally binding one, since what she did was highly illegal, but she'd agreed to work a set number of nights at the club in exchange for a much larger percentage. I don't really think this is for me, but I...
You need the money,
he said.
I get it. I'll extend a one-night contract to you because I trust Peyton. She thinks once you've had a taste, you're going to want more.
I highly doubted that, but kept my mouth shut. It was totally dry anyway.
You're very pretty. Can you take your hair down for me?
My hands fumbled to release the ponytail, and then I let my straight chestnut brown hair fall down in a wave.
Have you ever gone darker?
I shook my head. I liked being low maintenance, hence the hair thrown back in a ponytail.
I'll need to see the other assets you've got now, to ensure you're the kind of woman our customers desire.
The air in the room went thin. I knew this was coming, thanks to Peyton. And since we'd been roommates, it's not like she hadn't seen me naked before, but it offered me little comfort now. This was the moment it started to feel real. My hands lifted the shirt up over my heaving chest, and then over my head, before I set it in Peyton's waiting arms. Joseph was calm and collected, not leering at me, which I appreciated. I hurried to undo my jeans and shoved them down over my hips. I wanted it over as soon as possible, but my haste made me clumsy and awkward. If he had expected a sexy striptease, he wasn't getting one. I passed my wadded jeans to Peyton, who ignored my shaking hands.
Very nice,
he said, making me believe he was satisfied, until he added,
Please continue.
I twisted my arms behind my back and undid the clasp of my bra, my nervous fingers fumbling with the hook. I wasn't overly shy about my body under normal circumstances, but standing in the cramped room with the harsh lighting and two pairs of eyes on me made everything upside down. The straps slid off my shoulders and down my arms, falling to the floor. I didn't give myself time to check with him for feedback. I hooked my thumbs under the waistband of my panties and yanked them down my legs, leaving them beside my bra on the floor. Then I rose and set my hands on my hips and lifted my eyes to Joseph's. I was naked and vulnerable, but struggled not to reveal any of the insecurity threatening to paralyze me.
Can you turn?
My feet were cinder blocks, but I complied. I finished the turn, looking at him for some sort of confirmation or disapproval. A lifetime passed, and all he did was stare and evaluate. I ached for a response.
Excellent,
he finally said, and gave me a crooked smile.
I have to gauge your level of comfort now.
He stood, and his hands undid his zipper. I hadn't noticed that he was already semi-hard and bulging through his pants. What? Instinctively, I took a half-step backward. He had his dick out in an instant, stroking himself until he was completely hard.
I want you to suck me off, right now.
What? I said again, my eyes darting to Peyton. Here? Was he serious? Peyton had her lips pressed together, and then... She gave me the slightest nod. Oh, yes, he was serious.
I need to know you're not going to get cold feet with a client. If you can do this, I'll feel comfortable putting you on the list.
While he talked, he continued to stroke himself slowly, and I couldn't help but watch, hypnotized and disoriented. Evie, Peyton whispered. Was she going to tell me not to? Because I'd already come too far to back down. The prince had been ordered, and I couldn't get a loan or borrow from my parents, and Peyton had blown all of her money on a new car. "I can do this," I said, more for myself than for anyone else. It's not like this was the first blowjob I'd ever given, but it would undoubtedly be the least sexy. I took a tentative step forward and sank down before him, my knees resting on the cold, unforgiving tile. I used a hand to tuck a lock of my wayward hair behind an ear. His dick was fat and hard and right in front of my face, so I reached a hesitant hand out and wrapped my fingers around the firm flesh. My brain disconnected, I parted my lips and slid him inside my mouth.
"Fuck, that's good,"
he whispered. I was sure I would feel immediate revulsion, but instead I felt nothing. I wanted to focus and get my task done. I didn't like failing. I pulled him out and then slid him back in until the head of his dick touched the back of my throat.
"You can do this,"
I repeated over and over, and when I began to bob my head on him, I started to believe.
"Use your tongue."
His breathing was ragged. I obeyed his command, drawing a moan from him. I'd never had a guy tell me what to do before. I think usually they were just thrilled I was down there.
"Suck on it."
I did, and he let loose another deep moan. Honestly, his commands made this easier, but after a while my knees began to hurt, so I picked up the pace.
"That's so fucking hot,"
I heard Peyton say. I'd been concentrating so hard I'd forgotten she was right there, and if I didn't have her pimp's dick in my mouth, I might have told her to shut up. But that was the anger I felt toward myself, misdirected at her. She may have encouraged this, but she certainly hadn't forced me.
"You like watching me fuck her mouth?"
he asked her.
"Yeah, me too. She's going to make me come."
A hand wound into my hair, and his other hand seized my head under my chin, using his grip to guide me to pick up the tempo. His hips thrust faster and deeper, just barely avoiding my gag reflex. It was an unfamiliar feeling, not having control, but a part of me didn't mind. I kind of liked it, and admitting that to myself made a small wave of pleasure and desire wash over me.
"Swallow,"
he ordered. Then he was coming violently, filling my mouth with hot, thick liquid. I did as asked. As the pulsing inside my mouth began to ebb, I withdrew from him and rose up from my tender knees, stunned that this hadn't been that bad. If I was truthful with myself, his commands had turned me on a little. I'd felt eager to please him. The room was warm, and both pairs of eyes were on me, as if waiting for me to do or say something. I crossed my arms over my bare chest, feeling awkward and hot. Joseph recovered and zipped up, looking rather smug.
"I told you she'd be good," Peyton said quietly.
"You can get dressed now,"
my new pimp said.
"We've got a lot to talk about."
I sat in the stylist chair. My long, neglected hair had been trimmed into a swing cut, so it hung lowest in the front and brushed just over my shoulders. Joseph chose a deep coffee color, and while I was seated, my hair drenched in hair dye, he presented me with a 4-paged contract.
"Read it, and let me know if you have questions," he said. "I don't want you to sign it today. Consider everything and make sure it's what you want. If it is, I'll need it back by Thursday."
"If I do this, when does it happen?" I asked.
"Saturday."
Oh, God, so soon. But maybe that was good. It gave me less time to talk myself out of it, and I'd need the money quickly if Logan were going to keep it off the books. "Do I get paid right away?"
"Normally, no, but Peyton told me you're in a spot, so I'll be understanding."
"Thank you." I figured it couldn't hurt to be gracious. He gave me a startled smile.
"No, honey, thank you."
Then he left me alone to study the contract. It wasn't written in legalese. I would offer my body for sex, or to fulfill whatever other desire the customer had, and in return, I would receive money, minus a percentage going to the club. How many clients I chose to service was my decision. The first page included what was required of me, which wasn't much, arrive on time to the specified location, recently bathed, clean of any drugs, and not intoxicated. The percentage I received would be calculated when I returned my willing list. The willing list was a menu of what I would allow clients to do to me. I didn't think I was naive until I scanned the two columns on the second page and one-third of the things I'd never heard of. I'd have to ask Peyton to explain them to me later. The last two pages were more about security. Since the employee would be restrained and blindfolded, there would be someone from the club with them until a deal had been reached. And there were security cameras, which meant they'd be watching during the sex. It also outlined what would happen if a client became aggressive, or if at any point the employee wanted to stop. It was both reassuring and disturbing. I hadn't really thought about how dangerous it was, what Peyton had been doing. She said she felt safe, and honestly, I didn't ask a whole lot about it because it made me squeamish. Plus, she enjoyed it, and I believed she knew what she was doing.
Questions?
He asked when it was clear I'd finished. No, not right now.
Okay. I'd like to stick around and see the new you, but I should get going.
He handed me a card that was similar to the ones Peyton passed out when trying to attract new clients. This one had a phone number printed on it instead of a web address.
Don't hesitate to call if you need anything.
I will admit the hair color and new cut looked great, but I barely got to enjoy it because as soon as I was done, the stylist whisked me into the back, into the same room I'd knelt on the floor 90 minutes ago. My first Brazilian wax was excruciating, and I viewed it as an excellent warm-up punishment for the stupid mistake I'd made. I'd never get a legal disclaimer wrong again. Peyton drove me home in her new black Jaguar, explaining the most unsavory items from the list like she was explaining something simple and not how a guy would want to urinate on me.
I don't think I can do this, I said, feeling sick to my stomach.
Just check the stuff you can handle. Half the stuff on my list no one's even tried. Most guys just want to have sex. They come in the door with all these elaborate plans, but when they see you all tied up waiting for them, it goes right out the window. A wicked smile bloomed on her face. I had one guy finish in less than 2 minutes. I probably should have given him his money back. But you didn't. Rules are rules. It's not my fault I'm that good. My eyes fell back to the list. What's Greek?
Anal.
Even though she was driving, she saw my pen move past that, leaving it blank.
Evie, you've got to check that box.
No way, no. I capped the pen and put it in my purse. It's gross. The irony was not lost on me. Most people would say having sex with a total stranger for money was gross.
Get past your hang-ups. You might like it, Peyton said. And seriously, you'll never make enough in one night without it, unless you want to do more than one guy.
My shoulders slumped. The idea of one stranger was bad enough, but multiple? Oh, God, no. You've got, like, 3 things checked on that list. How are you going to know if you like stuff if you don't try? I think I'll be trying enough new things that night, don't you? She nodded, knowing when to stop pushing. On Wednesday, my nerves were wound tight as a spring. I feared the slightest push would snap the coil and I'd break apart. I used my lunch break to get tested and prove I was free of any STDs. Otherwise, I stayed hidden at my desk, desperate to focus on anything other than Saturday. The unsigned contract was tucked in my purse, whispering to me. I felt like I couldn't escape, and yet the dirtiest part of me was excited. The ship would be leaving soon, and I was going to have to decide once and for all whether or not to get on board. I'd already made the decision, though, hadn't I, in the back room of that salon? The memory made my stomach clench. As if on cue, my personal email chimed on my workstation. I thought it would be another daily pep talk from Peyton. It was from Joseph, checking in. The email had the logo of the club in the corner, the same from the card, a classy black and white diamond shape with a modern font. Elegant. If it had been from anywhere else, I would have added it to my inspiration folder.
Planning on doing any work today?
Logan snapped. My cursor clicked the email closed as fast as possible. Of course he'd catch me in the 1 minute I'd taken a break. I spun in my chair, my face hot with embarrassment. I was working. Did you need something? I said, desperate to sound normal and not guilty. He towered over my chair, his face hard and cold.
The printer overnighted the sample to me. It's on my desk.
He turned and went without a word, expecting me to follow. He could have picked up the phone and called me into his office, but that wasn't Logan's style. He liked to float around the department and keep people on target. Jamie, three cubes to my right, liked to surf Pinterest all day rather than work. I'd only been in Logan's office a handful of times, so each visit made me uncomfortable. He'd taken the management position a year ago, but hadn't done much to decorate. Maybe he didn't like the distraction of artwork on his walls. He held out the proof for us both to examine.
It was good work, he said, other than the sloppy mistake.
Well, if that wasn't a backhanded compliment, I don't know what was.
If it had been anyone else, I would have let them go. You have to know you're the best one out there.
It was by far the nicest thing he'd ever said, and the power of his statement left me stunned, yet he seemed completely unaware.
When will you have the money?
That brought reality crashing back down on me. Saturday night.
Saturday night?
He asked, skeptical. I meant Monday, I said quickly. He gave me an odd look, but pressed forward.
Good, I'll get the prints released to players this afternoon.
He rounded his desk and dropped down into his chair, and when his attention went to his computer screen, it was like I ceased to exist to him. I carried the new proof back to my desk and looked at it with bittersweet eyes. This was my art, paid for with my own money. Well, with the money I'd make. There was no turning back, I told myself, when I hit send on a response to Joseph's email, letting him know I'd signed the contract and would drop it off tonight. He emailed me back almost immediately and said to bring it with me on Saturday night. It was done, and I was done worrying about this. I liked sex, so maybe I wouldn't hate this. Hopefully. Peyton was on time, as usual, but I was running behind, as usual. She sat on the couch in the living area and watched me put makeup on through the open doorway of my cramped bathroom. I don't know why you do this to yourself. She was talking about Blake, the man I'd been hopelessly in love with for the last year. I ignored her, swiping my lashes with mascara. Blake and I had met our freshman year in Art and Design 101. He was a programmer trying to keep his options open in case he wanted to shift into web design, but thank God he didn't. He was all left brain. I had a boyfriend back then, and mistook Blake's friendliness for just that, and not flirting. When my high school long-distance relationship collapsed, I wanted more than a shoulder to cry on from Blake, but he'd started dating someone the week before. Our horrible timing continued through college, through my semester abroad, until we both fell in love our senior year, with other people. We drifted apart for a while, but reconnected when he moved to the city, and it was like no time had passed in our friendship. The longing for him flared back up, stronger than before, but Blake wasn't single. In fact, I suspected a marriage proposal wasn't far off in his girlfriend's future. In spite of everything, I liked her. Amy was geek chic, a perfect match for him. It was nice of Amy to arrange to have her birthday on a Friday. Peyton picked at her nails. Did you fill out any more boxes on your willing list? I paused at her sudden topic change and then recapped my lipstick. No. Evie. She directed a serious look at me through the mirror. Please check something else. Anything. I know how it works with the club. They're already doing you a favor. They're not going to do any more when it comes to the percentage. Okay. I wanted her off my back. I didn't want to think about it, like a patient with an upcoming surgery. They were already seated at the restaurant, surrounded by a few of Amy's coworkers I didn't know, when Peyton and I arrived. Blake's gaze connected with mine from across the room, and my heart beat faster. He was tall and lanky, just a few pounds of muscle short from being ripped. That was Amy's doing. She'd gotten him hooked on going to the gym. He'd never looked better than he did now. His light brown hair curled over his ears in an effortless look that made me want to put my hands in it. He'd been an adorably cute boy in college, but now he was a flat-out beautiful man. Fate had been so completely unfair to me. That was what I thought every time I saw him. His amber-colored eyes lit up when I came toward the table.
"Wow, your hair," he said. "Looks nice."
"Thanks." I tried not to blush. Conversation flowed easily between the group at first, but soon after it split down the center. Amy and her co-workers on one side, and Blake, Peyton, and I on the other, although Peyton never had much to say. I was surprised she'd agreed to come along. Peyton and Blake were always friendly, but they were my friends, and not friends with each other.
"What made you decide to go dark?"
he asked, gesturing to my hair. A huge grin spread across Peyton's face. "She's going to be joining me at work." That was why she'd wanted to come. She wanted to see the moment when Blake learned what I was going to do.
"What?"
I think he stopped breathing.
"Oh, yeah? What do you do again?"
Amy asked. I hadn't realized they'd rejoined the group conversation.
"Customer service," Peyton answered.
"Right."
She gave a polite nod and went back to discussing something with her coworker. She didn't know the truth about how Peyton made her living, but Blake did. This past New Year's Eve, when Amy had gone home to Minnesota for the holidays, Blake and I had gotten sloppy drunk and spilled our guts to each other about everything. I'd told him that Peyton was a prostitute, and he'd agreed, not understanding until I explained it all in detail. He'd had a lot of questions, but promised not to judge her for me. Then I told him about my repeating crush through college, and he revealed he'd felt the same. Then the margaritas in me told him I loved him. He didn't say anything. Instead, he kissed me ferociously, and the alcohol allowed it. We'd made out on my couch for a good 20 minutes until I stopped him. We were drunk, and he had a girlfriend. We never spoke about that night. I'm not sure if he remembered it or if he wanted to pretend it never happened, because Amy returned from her folks' place, and a month later she moved in with him. They got serious, fast.
"Tell me she's kidding," Blake said.
Horror splashed on his face. His eyes pleaded with mine. I swallowed hard and nodded. "It's true." He stood abruptly and stormed away from the table.
"Is he all right?"
Amy asked.
"He's mad at me,"
I pushed back from the table.
"I'll get him to come back."
Blake was waiting for me in the parking lot. I hadn't made it through the outer door, and he stalked toward me, getting in my face.
"What the fuck, Evie? Why would you do this?"
I told him about the stupid mistake and how I was doing it to save my job. I left out the part where I'd gone down on Joseph minutes after meeting him.
"It's just a job," Blake said. "You can get another."
"No, I can't. Not in Chicago. Agencies talk to each other. I know where my coworkers came from and whether they left by choice or not." I despised how shaky my voice was. Other than a rude boss, it was my dream job, and I loved living in the city. I loved walking in a herd with other business professionals on blustery Chicago winter mornings and escaping into an air-conditioned cab after bar hopping with Peyton on steamy summer nights. "I'll be a senior designer by the end of the year, if not sooner," I continued. "Even if I go somewhere else, I'd be starting from the bottom."
"There's got to be another way."
"Sure. You've got 10 grand I can borrow?" I asked bitterly. "It'll only take me a decade to pay it back." His face changed to shock.
"Jesus, it's that much?"
I nodded, grim.
"Look, I'll be fine. It's just sex. It's not any worse than going home with some random guy. It's actually safer."
"Except you don't do that."
No, I didn't. I'd never had a one-night stand. I hadn't seen the appeal of doing something so intimate and then never speaking to them again. Well, I guess I do now. He glanced over my shoulder to the window of the restaurant. Then he closed the space between us, pulling me in his arms. I shut my eyes, set my cheek against his chest, and allowed it to happen without feeling guilty. I listened to the steady, quick thud of his heartbeat.
"Please, don't do this," he begged.
"I'm sorry," was all I could say.
"When?"
"Tomorrow." He pulled back, his golden eyes cloudy and dark.
"Where?"
The rational part of my brain screamed not to tell him. Nothing good could come from him knowing, but I would do almost anything for him. I told him the address. He squeezed me into a hug and brushed his lips over my forehead, the closest he could get to kissing me, where I felt like he wasn't cheating on her. I pretended my heart wasn't hurting the rest of the night. When it was time to head home, he pulled me aside.
"I'll see you tomorrow," he said.
Chapter 3. Peyton pulled away from the curb and didn't speak until we hit the traffic on Lakeshore Drive.
"Tomorrow, are you still?" she asked.
"Yes."
It came out tight. "You would have told him eventually," she said. "You'd tell him everything. At least he got his chance to talk you out of it."
"Oh, so that's why you did it?"
"No."
She slammed on the brakes to keep from rear-ending the cab that cut her off.
"I told him because he only wants you when he can't have you. I thought you two were just friends."
I downed my beer quickly and had loose lips.
"You're kind of being a bitch right now."
She took her eyes off the road for a split second so she could lock them on me.
"True, but you deserve so much better than that douchebag. You should be someone's first choice, not an option they keep open on the side."
She had a point, but it was hard to accept. I just couldn't turn off my feelings for him, no matter how much I wanted to. Peyton dropped me off at home, promising to be back for me in the morning. She had the whole day planned out before the main event. We went to a spa, spray tans, mani-pedis, anything we could do to make sure we looked as good as possible while naked. Her treat. Then we went shopping. It didn't matter what we wore to the club. We could have shown up in sweats, but there was an unwritten rule among the ladies that you make an effort. Something you'd wear if you were going out on a hot date or to a club opening. Peyton pushed me to try a shimmering low-cut silver dress that clung to my curves, and then pulled out her credit card.
"No, Peyton, shut up. I'd pay 10 grand to sleep with you in that dress."
An eerie calm washed over me at dinner, and as I geared up to leave all my inhibitions behind, I started with my words. "I need to know why you care so much about this," I asked Peyton. "Why it's important to you." Her blue eyes searched my face.
"I like it. I want you to like what I like."
I'd never known her to lie to me. "I need to know your real reason."
"I'll tell you, I swear." She gave me a sad smile. "But I can't tell you until after."
That only increased my curiosity and skepticism. "Why? Are you getting some sort of commission off of me?"
"There is a bonus, but trust me, it has nothing to do with it."
We each had one drink. I would have liked some more liquid courage, but respected the rules of my contract. I couldn't afford not to. Time went too fast and too slow, and as it got closer to 10 o'clock, I became restless and giddy. The dirty girl buried inside me was excited. Peyton drove her sleek car to the club, parking 2 blocks down. One of the advantages of arriving with her meant I was on time. Early, which was helpful because just across the street from the deceptively vacant-looking building that housed the club, a lanky man waited for me. I felt like I'd just done a somersault.
"What the fuck is he doing here?"
Peyton hissed. Her eyes narrowed.
"Why did you tell him where?"
"I couldn't help it," I confessed. "He asked me." She stared at me expectantly.
"Well, go listen to him tell you why you shouldn't do this, how you should continue to wait for him to get bored with his girlfriend. I'll be here," she said, pointing to her feet, "when you're ready to finally move on."
I swallowed hard and shuffled across the deserted street. Concern was painted across Blake's face. God, I'd been so stupid telling him. Seeing him now destroyed the shred of excitement I'd been clinging to and replaced it with paralyzing dread.
Hey.
His voice was grave.
I'm asking you not to go in there.
Please don't make this harder than it already is. I'd never seen him look like he did now. He was an even mixture of desperation and fear, and I ached for him.
Don't do this to us,
he whispered. I froze. Us?
It'll destroy any chance for us to be together, Evie. Please.
He begged. Wait, what?
I love you.
He reached out for me, tried to pull me close, but all I could hear were Peyton's words echoing. I wanted to believe him, but it had rolled off his lips, strained and forced. What about Amy? I asked when his arms circled my waist.
I know, it's complicated.
A spark of anger ignited a fire deep inside me. It's really not that complicated. You can't love two people at once.
Believe me, you can. I do.
I twisted out of his arms. Let me clarify. You can't be in love with me and be in love with another woman, too.
Evie, stop.
He took a step toward me.
Let's talk about this. Just don't go in there.
We'd had time to talk. Months and months. If he wanted to leave her, he would have done it. Does she even know you're here? He tore his gaze away from mine, guilty. I took in an enormous breath, letting it make me feel strong. You shouldn't have come. He nodded toward Peyton, a sneer on his face.
She's a whore, and she'll drag you down.
I didn't understand her reasons, but she'd never betrayed me, and she'd certainly never hurt me the way he had right now. Get out of here, I said, turning away. Peyton didn't judge. She loved me unconditionally, the way a true friend did. So I left him standing there and returned to my friend. You okay? She asked. I'm fine, I lied. Let's go have some fun. Immediately inside the door, a large black man was perched on a stool with a clipboard and an earpiece. The room was small and dark, and the focus was the white door across from us with the black club logo on it.
Hey, girl,
he said to Peyton, a genuine smile on his lips. He buzzed us through the white door, and as it swung shut behind us, I heard him say into his earpiece that we had arrived. This room was wide and short. An oversized couch rested on one side and a bar on the other. The friendly-looking bartender also gave Peyton a genuine smile when he saw her. He was also wearing an earpiece. This is the holding room, Peyton said, directing me to the bar. Sometimes the client needs a few minutes before parting with that much money.
Or for the Viagra to kick in,
the bartender said. He'd said it like a joke, but I was sure he was serious. Two shots of tequila, Peyton announced. The bartender didn't hesitate. Is that okay? I asked. I wanted the help the alcohol could provide, but what about the contract? Peyton knocked the shot back. Joseph just doesn't want us plastered. A little lubrication isn't a bad thing. Her fingers nudged the glass toward me. I snatched it up and downed it, ignoring the burn. Thanks, she said to the bartender, and pulled me away as soon as I'd set my glass on the bar top. This door spat us out into the center of a long hallway, facing a seemingly endless bank of doors. She didn't have to say what kind of room was behind those doors. I'd find out soon enough. We didn't go into the rooms. I followed her to the end of the hall and up a set of stairs. I could hear female voices coming from the room on the right, but she went left, into Joseph's office. He was seated behind a desk in a black suit and black shirt without a tie, a row of darkened video monitors behind him. The contract had detailed that the sessions were videotaped strictly for security purposes. Peyton had reassured me it wouldn't wind up on the internet. I wasn't that concerned about it. A grainy black and white video of a woman with a blindfold on would be tough to identify. Plus, this club made serious money. Why would they jeopardize their operation for a few extra dollars selling amateur porn?
Evening, ladies,
Joseph said, rising from his seat.
You both look lovely.
Thanks, Peyton said. I struggled to find words and just nodded. I was more nervous now fully clothed than I'd been when I was naked before him.
Do you have the contract, Evelyn?
He asked. My trembling hand dug it out of my purse. The paper crinkled when I handed it over, but then I couldn't release it. I need a pen, I blurted out. Peyton looked at me, startled. I thought you signed it already.
I did.
I didn't want to explain, and thankfully Joseph produced a pen so I didn't have to. I turned to the willing list and checked not one, but three more boxes. This wasn't the tequila talking. This was my response to the man who had said he loved me not 5 minutes ago. She gasped when she saw what I had done and then gave a wicked smile.
Aw, we're going to be sorority sisters.
I held my breath as Joseph evaluated the contract and waited to find out what the magic number was after the house took their cut.
The best I can do is 20% to the club, and I'm sorry, that's not negotiable.
Joseph pulled open a drawer in the desk and filed the contract.
And 10% on top of it to Peyton.
Forget it. I don't need it, she said immediately. My heart sank. Even with Peyton dropping her bonus, I'd need to get someone to agree to sleep with me for $12,000. It was so much money. Who would pay that? She threaded her hand in mine and gave it a squeeze. You can do this. There were four other women offering their services for the evening, and they'd all arrived by the time Peyton and I entered the lounge. She introduced me to them, but I couldn't focus and forgot their names immediately. They were stunningly beautiful and exotic like Peyton. Was I there as some sort of twisted affirmative action? The token average girl in case a customer wanted a helping of that? And while these women were friendly and pleasant, they were also my competition. I was so screwed, in every sense of the word. It's okay, Peyton said. She must have sensed I was mentally freaking out and eased me down onto a chair. Let's go over some of the code talk. Code talk? There was a red drink in my hand suddenly, delivered by a blonde woman who looked like she'd just stepped out of a magazine ad. I thought I'd already met all the other women, but she was new. That's cranberry and vodka, the woman said. I'm Tara. I'll be your sales assistant. You? I took a sip of the drink blindly. They're going to want to sleep with you rather than me. Peyton gave me a tight look. Tara's the best at sales. I already told her where you need to get to. I'm sorry, I said to the mesmerizing blonde, trying to calm myself. I'm really nervous. Tara sat beside me. I've been there. You just have to let yourself enjoy it. There are plenty of women who would pay to have this happen to them. It's a fantasy. I set the drink down on a nearby side table. I suddenly didn't want any more alcohol in my system. I wanted to keep my wits about me. Tell me about the code. If I talk about the weather when a client first comes in, he's average looking. If I talk about sports, he's hot, Tara said. And if he's fugly, Peyton added, she'll talk about traffic. Tara shot her a knowing look as if they shared an inside joke. But if I'm wearing a blindfold, why does it matter? Peyton's eyes fell on me like I was a dummy. Ugly guys pay more for pussy. A lot more. I'll negotiate the price, Tara said, but it's always your call on accepting the offer. You won't be able to see his body language, and he'll think that's to his advantage. When he makes a bid, where I touch you indicates what I think I'm seeing. The closer to your head I get, the closer I think we are to reaching his limit. I didn't understand. She was going to touch me? For example, she continued, if he offered $10,000 for Peyton and I touched her on her ankle, I think we can get him up quite a bit. If I touch her on the shoulder, I'm going to take it, Peyton said.